Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
I want to invite you to go ahead and grab your copy of God's Word this morning. Join me once again in the book of Psalms. We are spending the summer in the Psalms, and we find ourselves this morning having walked through Psalm 1, 2, and 3, which leads us to Psalm 4, in a message entitled, The Gift of Prayer. As we are working our way to get to Psalm 4, I want to ask you a simple question, one that I want you to think about with me for a little bit this morning. If you could ask Jesus for anything, what would you ask Him for? Don't say it out loud. You don't want to embarrass yourself this morning, right? But as you think about that, as you think about if you had the opportunity to ask Jesus for anything, what would you ask Him to do for you? I want to remind us this morning that Jesus' disciples who walked with Him had the opportunity to ask Jesus for something, and they asked Him for something, in my mind, absolutely fascinating. They said to Jesus, "Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray." Now, I don't know about you, but in my mind, initially, thinking about Jesus and His life and His ministry, I mean, I'm thinking I probably would have said, "Teach me how to do miracles. Teach me how to do something incredible, something amazing, something that people would look at and go, oh my goodness, there's no way in the world that could have happened except for God showing up on the scene." And yet, it's interesting to me that Jesus' disciples ask Him to teach them how to pray. Why? We're going to find out this morning, I hope, as we work our way through Psalm 4. I think what Jesus' disciples recognized is that prayer, communion with our Heavenly Father, is one of the greatest gifts that we have as followers of Jesus. Prayer is an incredible gift. As Jesus lived His life on this earth, as His disciples watched Him, as we worked our way through the book of John and the seven miracles that we saw Jesus perform that speak to the reality of who He is, as we look at that, Jesus' disciples could have asked Him for anything. Teach us how to do miracles like You. But instead, they say, "Jesus, teach us how to pray." They saw something in Jesus' intimacy with His Heavenly Father as He spent time in prayer that they wanted desperately in their lives. They saw prayer as an incredible gift. And this morning, as we work our way through Psalm 4, we are going to see from David why prayer is such an incredible gift. And I don't know about you, but I know as your pastor, one of the things that I look at in my own life, my life with the Lord, is, and I say, I want to be a better man of prayer. I don't know about you, but I want to pray in such a way that I sense communion with my Heavenly Father in a way that I don't experience in other areas of my life. Certainly, we hear from God through His Word, and yet we communicate with God through our prayers. And for us, I think all of us, if you've been a believer for any length of time, would say, I would love to take that discipline of prayer and it to grow in my life. I hope this morning as we look at Psalm 4 that we would see the true gift of prayer in our lives as believers. I want to read the text for us this morning, the 8 verses in Psalm 4, and then we will walk back through it together. David writes, "Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts, on your own beds, and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, 'Who will show us some good?' Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." Father, we ask this morning that you would open our eyes that we would be able to see, that you would open our ears that we would be able to hear, and that you would open our hearts and our minds that we would be ready to respond to your word and to your spirit. And we ask all of that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. If you're taking notes this morning, kiddos, I want you to take your bulletin and be able to follow along with us and take notes. If you do it in school, you can do it in church. Amen. Mom and Dad, model this for them as we walk through the passage this morning. Here's the main idea, the main truth as we walk through the text, and then we'll break it down in verses as we go through. But here's what I want us to recognize, that prayer is an incredible gift because we can pray with confidence, assurance, wisdom, joy, and peace. 5 aspects of prayer: confidence, assurance, wisdom, joy, and peace that we see David highlight in his prayer to the Lord. Now, don't lose sight of where we are in the Psalms this morning, that we've been walking our way through them as we've encountered David's backstory of God having set him apart as the anointed king of Israel, of people trying to come up against David's rule and David's reign in Israel, God having established David's kingdom and made the promise to David that we see ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ coming and setting up his kingdom, is God promised that David would have a kingdom that would last for all eternity. We find that fulfillment in Jesus, and yet David, as he is ruling as king, has experienced opposition come up against him. And ultimately, as we saw in Psalm 2, that opposition is against God, who has set David in this position of authority. We saw it from outside Gentile kings in Psalm 2, and then we saw it last week as we worked our way through Psalm 3 with David's own son, Absalom. And he would come here again as we hear David crying out to the Lord, David calling to God in the moment of distress and saying to him, "God, I need you to hear me. I need you to answer my prayer. I need you to do what you've promised. Your promise to me to set up a kingdom that would last for all of eternity, that would find its fulfillment in Christ. I need you to follow through with that." David's cry to the Lord. And as we look at this prayer, I want you to notice, first of all, that David prays with confidence. Look with me at verse 1. David says, "Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness." David calls out to the Lord and says, "God, answer me." But notice what follows. Notice the past tense that David says here. "You have given me relief when I was in distress. David is not calling out to the Lord and saying, I hope you will hear me. I hope you will answer my prayer. David says, oh God, here I am and I'm in distress, but I have confidence because you've shown up before when I've been in distress. I think one of the things that we struggle with in prayer in our lives is wondering at times when we don't seem to have an answer to our prayers. When it seems like we've been praying for something for a long time, and I have no doubt that there are many in this room that are in that position. I heard from one of our church members a number of weeks ago that they had been praying for years and years and years for a family member to come to faith in Jesus Christ. And after years, that family member put their faith and trust in Jesus for salvation. And they were rejoicing in that. But there's times when we wonder, is God hearing us? Is God listening? Does God know that we are calling out to Him as we are in distress? Does God know what's going on in our lives? Is maybe He just absent and not really interested in what's going on? And yet, David here calls out to the Lord, confident that God will hear his prayer. Why is David confident? Because God has shown up for him in the past. Christian, don't ever lose sight in the midst of distress, in the midst of calling out to the Lord, in the midst maybe of not hearing an answer to your prayer, never lose sight of the reality of who God is and what He's done in your life up to that point. I think so many times as believers, we have what I've called before spiritual amnesia. We forget what God has done in our lives. We lose sight of where God has shown up in our lives. One of the things that I would encourage you to do if you don't do it now is just begin writing out your prayers to the Lord. Things that are on your heart that you are praying for. I have journals going back decades of prayers on my heart, things in the moment that we are walking through as a family or I was walking through personally, things that I feel the weight of in my life and turn over and pray and lift it up to the Lord. And here's the interesting thing. I can go back and walk through those journals and see on the pages of me writing them out God's answer to those prayers. Families, let me encourage you this morning, if you don't make it a habit of talking about what God has done in your life with your kids, start today. One of the greatest things that we can do as parents is pass on what God has done in our lives to our kids. To look back and remember the moments in time in our lives when things were difficult, when things were distressing, when we can look back and say to our kids, when we were getting ready to make this move, or when mom and dad were walking through this difficulty, or when dad lost his job, or when we got that medical diagnosis, when we were up against a wall, we saw God show up. One of the things that you look at in the Old Testament that is such an important part of the life of God's people is remembering what God had done in the past. One of the things that God said over and over to His people is, teach your children and your grandchildren what I've done in your life up to this point. Don't lose sight of what God has done in your life. Let's start at the beginning. If you're a follower of Jesus here this morning, do you remember that moment when you trusted in Jesus as your Savior? Do you remember that? Have you ever shared that moment with your kids? Have you ever talked with them about that moment in your life when you trusted in Jesus as your Savior? as you share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ and what Christ has done in your lives, your kids get to hear that God was moving before they were even born. Have the opportunity to pass on a heritage. David here prays to the Lord, calls out to the Lord with confidence because he's seen God's hand at work in his life. Prayer is an incredible gift for us as believers because we pray in confidence because we've already seen God at work in this world and specifically in our lives. Not only is prayer a gift because we pray in confidence. Notice verse 2 and 3. Prayer is also a gift because we pray with assurance. Notice in verse 2. In this moment of distress, as David is called out to the Lord, as David has reminded himself that God had shown up before, and David says, "Be gracious, Lord, once again, and hear my prayer." David speaks in verse 2 to those who are coming after him. Possibly even those who are looking at David as he's calling out to the Lord and saying, "David, you're wasting your time. God's not listening to you. God's not hearing your prayer. Don't you realize that you are on the run for your life? David, don't you realize that God is not going to show up like you think he's going to show up?" Notice what David says in verse 2. "O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies?" Verse 3. "But know." You may want to underline that word. "Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him." Not only is David confident that God had answered his prayers in the past, but David is assured in this moment that God is going to hear his prayers in the present. Regardless of what noise is out there, God's not going to hear your prayer. God's not interested in listening to you. Your prayer's not that important to God. I mean, there's other things that he's worried about right now. No, David says here in verse 3, "No. Be assured that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself." If you have trusted in Jesus as your Savior, you are a child of God. God hears your prayers. One of the realities that we have as followers of Jesus this morning is the fact that when we call out, David says, we can be assured that the Lord hears when we call to him. Let's ask the question, why can we be assured? Well, first, we're children of God. If you're here this morning and you've taken the step of placing your faith and trust in Jesus for salvation, his accomplished work on the cross and his resurrection, you are a child of God. If you're here this morning and you've not taken that step, you have an opportunity to take that step today and to be a child of God, to place your faith and trust in Jesus for salvation. But follower of Jesus, recognize this morning that that is one of the greatest assurances that we can have in our lives, that God hears our prayer, is that we are his children. Not only that, because we are his children, his son Jesus, according to the scripture, is sitting at his right hand, serving as our advocate with our heavenly Father. Not only that, but the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within us when we don't know what to pray for is groaning on our behalf to the Father. Prayer is one of the most beautiful pictures of the Trinity at work in our lives. the Father who hears our prayers, the Son who serves as our advocate with the Father because of His blood that covers us and our sin, the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, who when we don't know what to pray for, or the pain is so deep as we pray, who prays on our behalf to the Father. We have assurance this morning as followers of Jesus that when we pray, God hears our prayers. What greater gift could we have that when we pray, God hears us? The God who spoke creation into existence, the God who sustains creation so that the earth continues to spin at the rate that it spins, the God who makes sure the stars are doing what they're supposed to be doing, the God who says, earth, you can only come this close to the sun or else everybody there is going to burn up. That God hears our prayers. He is our Father who loves to hear from us. We can pray with confidence. We can pray with assurance. But notice verses 4 and 5. We can pray with wisdom. David writes, be angry and do not sin. That may be in a verse that you've heard before. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Whereas in verse 2, David was speaking to those who were chastising him for praying or those who were looking at him and saying, God's not going to hear your prayers. David speaks to them specifically, but here David is speaking to the righteous, those who God has set apart, followers of God here. David speaks to them and says, in light of those around you who says, God's not going to hear your prayers. In light of those who are around you who says, don't worry about it. You're wasting your time as you pray. David says here, be angry and do not sin. I mean, think about this for just a second. God, our Heavenly Father, hears our prayers. And yet there are those who would say to us, there's no sense in praying. God's not going to listen to you. I mean, as a child, for someone to look at you and say, don't say anything to your mom and dad, they're not going to listen to you, that makes you a little angry inside. Makes you go, no, my mom and dad, they do listen to me. There's times they don't like me, right? But they listen to me, they hear me when I call out to them. Don't tell me that they're not going to listen to me. That's the same mindset David comes at here in verse 4. It should bother us that people would say that God's not going to listen to our prayers and we're His children. David says, be angry and do not sin. But notice this, ponder in your own hearts, on your own beds, and be silent. Why argue with those who are saying God's not going to listen to your prayers? It should cause something within us to go, they just don't know what I know. But the answer is not to sit there and argue with them. Let me press in on it a little bit right here. Your Facebook debates, amen or ouch, are not going to accomplish a lot with people that don't know God. You can argue with them until you are blue in the face, and it's not going to accomplish a whole lot. And so here, David says, let it bother you, but don't let it lead you to sin. In fact, ponder in your own hearts, on your own beds, and be silent. Pray in wisdom. Praying in foolishness would be, let's argue about this. But David says, that's not the answer. Then he says in verse 5, offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. No sense in arguing about it. No sense in going back and forth with other people about it. In fact, David says here, the wise thing to do is to take that to the Lord, to lay it at His feet, to not argue back and forth with those who would disagree with the way you're going about praying, but to step back from that for a bit and say, listen, this is a conversation between myself and the Lord. David says here, as we pray, we should do it in wisdom, trusting that God is going to hear our prayers and that God knows exactly what we need before we even ask Him. Therefore, David says, put your trust in the Lord. Not only is prayer a gift because we can pray with confidence, assurance, and wisdom, but notice verses 6 and 7. David says prayer is a gift because we can pray with joy. Verse 6 and 7. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. Verse 6 is interesting there because David says there are many people who say, who will show us some good? Primarily, David is speaking there of those who would look to the Lord to change their circumstances. As things are difficult in our lives, we've said this before, oftentimes as we call out to the Lord, our first thought is, God, get me out of this difficult circumstance. Change my circumstance. And yet oftentimes God's desire is to work in our lives through those difficult circumstances. David looks here and he says there's some who want to pray and ask God, almost like God is just nothing more than a cosmic vending machine giving us what we want. And then God says, oh, you want the circumstances to change? I can do that. You don't want to experience any difficulty in life? I can do that. You don't want to experience any pain in life? You don't want to be sick? You don't want to have to deal with teenagers? You don't want to have to walk through any of that? I'll just take all of that and life would just be easy. That's not the God that we worship. God works in our lives through those difficulties, through those circumstances, to make us into more Christ-like followers of Jesus. David says here, lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. Some are praying and asking God to change their circumstances. David here says, you have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. That picture there, grain and wine abounding, is simply a description of great circumstances. Things are plentiful. Things are being enjoyed. David says, my joy doesn't come from my circumstances. My joy comes from my relationship with the Lord. Church, we need to be reminded of that often in our lives. So many times, I know it is this way for me as well, I will allow my circumstances to determine how much joy I experience. And yet the truth is, as we walk with Jesus, we have the opportunity to experience the greatest sense of joy that we could ever experience. Paul would say it in this way, I've learned in whatever situation I find myself in to be content. Whether I have plenty or whether I have nothing, I've learned to be content. David says, joy is found not in God changing our circumstances. Joy is found in God Himself. David closes in verse 8 and says, in peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Prayer is an incredible gift because we can pray with confidence, assurance, wisdom, joy, and then lastly, verse 8, we can pray with peace. David, in the midst of struggle, in the midst of difficulty, closes out his prayer with these words, "In peace, I will lie down and sleep. I have called out to the Lord in my distress. I've called out in my struggle. I've called out in my difficulty, and yet I will experience peace because I know that the Lord is in control. I know that God is at work. I know that God is at work not only in my life, but in the world around me. Regardless of the circumstances, I can experience true and lasting peace in my life because God is in control." David here in Psalm 4 describes for us the incredible gift that prayer is in the life of a believer. And my hope this morning for all of us is that we would experience and enjoy and utilize the gift that prayer is in our lives. That we would pray with confidence, that we would pray with assurance, that we would pray with wisdom, that we would pray with joy, that we would pray in peace. Because our God hears us and He is at work in our lives and the world around us. Let's pray this morning. Father, we are so thankful for your word. Father, I'm thankful that as we have unpacked Psalm 4 this morning, we are reminded of the great gift that prayer is in our lives as believers. And Father, we don't overlook the fact this morning that there may be someone here that even as we've talked about the gift of prayer in the life of a believer, that has never taken the step of trusting in Jesus for salvation. And as we talk about the gift of prayer this morning, what they need to experience, Father, is the gift of salvation that Jesus' life and death and resurrection offer to them today. And so, Father, we ask that you would continue at work in their lives, that today for them would be the day of salvation, where they would admit that they are a sinner, that they are in need of a Savior, and that Jesus Christ is the only one who can save them from their sin, to put them in right relationship with God the Father. May they respond this morning in faith, trusting in Him for salvation. Father, for the believers that are here this morning, would you remind us of the great gift of prayer in our lives? Would you help us through David's words this morning to recognize the great gift that we have? To be able to call out to you and you hear us, to know that you're at work, to know that we can experience joy and peace in communion daily with you. Father, may North River Church be filled with followers of Jesus who take this gift of prayer and utilize it for your glory. And ultimately for our good. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.